Let's continue reading verses 41 through 51 of John chapter 6. In these verses, we have the next section of our Lord's Bread of Life discourse. John 6, verse 41. The Jews then murmured against him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Once again, some background notes. Remember that this great Bread of Life discourse was given in association with the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 41, we read that the Jews then murmured against him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." The Jews here are the Jewish leaders at Capernaum. They too are listening to the Lord's discourse, along with the Galilean multitudes who had participated in that great miracle. Whenever John mentions the Jews in his gospel, they are part of the opposition party. In verse 42, they say, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" This is certainly their denial of the virgin birth, isn't it? More than that, it's a denial of the deity of Christ. They realized that when the Lord said that he was the bread which came down from heaven, they realized that this was a claim to deity. Throughout the Gospel of John, we see the Lord Jesus claiming to be God. Verse 46 here is another claim to deity in this section. "Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father." Certainly, this is a claim to deity. The Lord Jesus was not claiming to be the Father. He's the Son. But he was claiming deity. This is the great theme of the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Jews did not believe Jesus, and they tried to make Jesus out to be just a man with an earthly father and mother. And this is exactly what many people do today with Jesus. He was just a man. Oh, a good man, but he was just a man. They deny his deity. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points for this section. Doctrinal point number one: God draws a person to Christ on the basis of his sovereignty. God draws a person to Christ on the basis of his sovereignty. Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." How does that verse strike you? You know, when you first read this verse, you may not like it because it sounds like we have no choice in the matter of our salvation. God chooses. That's it. That might be your first reaction to a verse like that. But you know, I have come to love verses like this. You know why? Because I've come to know myself. And I know that if God didn't draw me, I would never come to God on my own. Would you? God had to make the first move, or I'd still be doing my own thing. So don't let this doctrine scare you, all right? You can be sure if you want to choose the Lord, you can come. But at the same time, you can't deny that God is drawing you. God draws a person to Christ on the basis of his sovereignty. Don't let the doctrine rattle you. Be thankful for it. Because we've got to face the facts. We would not choose on our own. When the fall took place, it affected all of us, every part of us, including our minds. Your mind doesn't naturally want to go toward God. We want to go away from God. If God doesn't make the first move in our hearts, the Holy Spirit probing our hearts, drawing us, we would never come to Christ. So while it's a tough doctrine, the sovereignty of God, election, choosing, and so forth, yet it's a wonderful doctrine. God draws a person to Christ on the basis of his sovereignty. Doctrinal point number two, God draws a person to Christ by the means of Scripture. God draws a person to Christ by the means of Scripture. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 54, and it indicates that the primary way in which God teaches and draws a person to Christ, draws a person to himself, is through his word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Think back on your conversion to Christ, you who are Christians here this morning. I'm sure that you'll agree that it was the scriptures that you were reading, or that you had memorized, or that had been taught to you by your parents or Sunday school teachers that God used. I know in my own life, it was Revelation 3:20 that was the key scripture that the Lord used in bringing me to himself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I realized I had a responsibility to open my heart's door. Anyone will open the door. I will come in and have communion with him, sup with him, and he with me. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God draws a person to Christ by the means of Scripture. Doctrinal point number three, God draws a person to Christ for the purpose of salvation. God draws a person to Christ for the purpose of salvation. In verse 48, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, this is one of the well-known I am statements in the Gospel of John. We also saw that back in verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. There are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. This is the first one. I am the bread, here in John 6. Second, I am the light of the world, John chapter 8. Third, I am the door, John chapter 10. Fourth, I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10. Fifth, I am the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11. Sixth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me, John chapter 14. And finally, number seven, I am the vine, John chapter 15. Isn't that interesting, the structure of John? You have seven sign miracles. You have seven I am statements with the predicate. What we mean by the predicate is I am the bread, I am the door, and so forth. You also have seven I am statements without the predicate. Just I am. It's the title of deity. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. You have seven times throughout the Gospel of John where that divine claim is made. Very interesting how you see this structure of the Gospel of John, with the overall theme, of course, being the deity of Christ, to show that Jesus was truly and fully God. In verse 48, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Then the Lord said in verses 49 through 51, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This is why God draws a person to Christ, for salvation. That's the emphasis. That they will not die, that they will live forever. God doesn't draw a person to Christ to make him more wealthy, to give him necessarily good health or for making life easy, but for salvation. Now, God is interested in other aspects of our lives, for sure. He is interested in our welfare, our well-being, our health. But you got to recognize, as the Lord is giving this bread of life discourse, what is being said here. That God draws a person to Christ for the purpose of salvation. So you will not die, and you will live forever. Without Christ, we are lost. We will die in our sins and be eternally separated from God. That's what to die means here. It's not talking about physical death. To die here means eternal separation from God. We must partake of the bread of life. God draws a person to Christ for the purpose of salvation. Well, that brings us to our practical application. We could say our practical application comes right from this third doctrinal point. Let's put it in question form. Have you partaken of the bread of life? Have you partaken of the bread of life? Verse 51, once again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. What does it mean to partake or eat of the bread of life? Is the Lord talking here about partaking of the Lord's Supper? No, a resounding no. He's not talking about communion. He's talking about salvation. To eat the bread of life means to receive Christ as Savior. Up until verse 51 in the Bread of Life discourse, the Lord was speaking of his incarnation when he referred to himself as the living bread which came down from heaven. Now in verse 51, there's a transition. He begins to speak of his substitutionary death. Last part of verse 51, once again, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Note that it is still future when the Lord is speaking here. The bread that I shall give is my flesh. He had already come as the living bread from heaven. That's his incarnation. But he still had to give his body in death. He's moving on to his substitutionary work on the cross. That's what's in view here. The work of atonement. Note the substitutionary nature of his death there in verse 51. Which I shall give for the life of the world. That's quite doctrinal, isn't it? But the practical application is obvious. Have you partaken of the bread of life? The question is not, have you taken communion? The question is not, have you recognized that Jesus is the living bread from heaven? And the question is not even, do you acknowledge that Jesus is the bread of life? The question is, have you partaken of the bread of life? That is, have you received Christ as the one who gave his life for you? He died on the cross as your substitute for your sins. Have you partaken of the bread of life?